Hello and welcome. I'm Matthew from Rosie & Rosie, investment property specialists, helping you invest in property with confidence. Join us as we interview local experts from within the real estate industry and share with you the insights and practical tips to give you the edge when it comes to buying, selling, or renting an investment property. Today, we're joined by award-winning real estate agent Joe Marriott from Toop & Toop. Welcome, Joe, and thanks again for joining us.
Hey, thanks again.
Joe, today I wanted to talk to you about how to sell your home for top dollar. As an investor, talk to us about the sort of things we can do to our homes to sell for top dollar.
Yeah, so in order to sell for top dollar, I think you need to have a bit of preparation in mind. I always think that the first thing you've got to do is you've got to speak to your agent before you're ready to move or before you're ready to sell. I always think that if you could do it 3 months before, that's better. Get them to come in, have a look at the property, give you some tips and tricks in terms of what's going to maximize sale price. At the end of the day, we go into a lot of homes and we know what actually does get you top dollar. Mm-hmm. So something like rewiring the house, for instance, doesn't get you top dollar.
No.
It's probably very good and it's great for safety features, but spending 15 grand on rewiring a house, no buyer's going to care about that. Mm-hmm. But things like, you know, a quick paint job or maybe getting rid of a feature wall that was great 10 years ago, maybe not now,
yep.
It's always good. You might put a new dishwasher in, or it could be, you know, you manicure the garden a little bit, declutter a bit is always something that that works out well. So having them come through and give you a bit of a list in terms of what's going to work is always good. And then it's about getting those things done. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have to do all the things because I'll give you a list as long as your arm. Mm-hmm. But it's about doing the majority of those things in preparation that when you do take it to market, it's basically almost ready for photos. Yeah.
If it's an investment property that is currently tenanted, what's your advice with regards to selling with the tenant, waiting till the end of the lease?
In a perfect world, I would... And I'm sure this is not going to be great for tenants, but I always say get them out. It's a little bit like lending your car to your best mate, who's a little bit unreliable, and then putting it on Gumtree, and then saying, "Yep, no worries, I'll get my mate Steve to come, you know, have a look at the car." You don't know that he doesn't have, you know, he's cleaned it or anything like that. It's your product, but you're relying on someone else to present it in a certain way. Which can always be tough. Now, in some situations, it is what it is. You just have to deal with it. But if the agent's good, they'll have a good rapport with the tenant and keep them informed as well. And most tenants are pretty good. They'll mm-hmm. keep it clean and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, realistically, if it's... I've sold plenty of properties with tenants. I've also sold plenty without tenants. And generally, you get more money when there's no one living there.
Sure.
You also have to be willing to take that hit financially for that period that you've got no one giving you rent, though. So if you can't afford to do that, well then, you know, we just need to have a conversation with the tenants. And that could just be, you know, give them a couple of movie tickets or something so that they've got somewhere to go during an open inspection, or a bottle of wine or something if they're wine connoisseurs, or you know, just keeping them on site so that they're helping you. And if it's an investment property, you generally say, look, you know, this is probably going to sell to an investor. You know, we can give you a good review going forward, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So you stay here. So,
yep.
And they want a good landlord as much as you want like a good tenant.
Yep.
So
if there's a lease in place,
yep.
Do you find that can affect buyers?
It can affect if it's an investment property, primarily an investment property.
Mm-hmm.
A lease in place is great.
Yep.
Because it's a locked in contract. That's not going to change, especially, you know, at a certain amount, especially if they're getting good rent. If it's something where someone wants to move in and they want to move in for themselves, it can be a little bit detrimental because that most people want to buy something and move in straight away, and you can't do that because there is a contract that you've signed with your tenant for a certain period of time.
Yep.
There's always ways of getting around it. Like you could buy the property. If the person buying the investment property wanted to move in, you can always talk to the tenant and say, hey, look, you know, happy for you to leave at any point. Like if you do find something better and there'll be no fees associated, we'll just rip up the contract.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but you both have to agree to it. There's a lot more kind of legislation and paperwork around that. And it can sometimes affect the sale price.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. I imagine someone who falls in love with the home to move into is going to pay a bit more than an investor who's just doing the numbers.
Well, that's right. Emotional money is where it's all at. If everyone looked at it really business-like and never paid emotional dollars, property prices probably wouldn't go up.
Wouldn't be where they are now.
No,
that's good advice. Thank you for that. In addition to, I guess, what the owner can do to the property for, you know, to achieve top dollar, how can the agent help to achieve top dollar?
Obviously providing advice is the first step. I have quite a few trades around me that I generally just put in front of them. I've done it before where I've actually project managed and coordinated those trades for free.
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, you know, I wanted it to get done at a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the quicker I can get it done and I know these guys and I know how they work and all that kind of stuff. You could do a little bit of project management, all that kind of stuff. If it's not tenanted, for instance, styling mm-hmm. is a huge thing. I think probably 90% of my properties get styled now to yep. some degree. In some cases, you put all new furniture in, all new prints, all new everything. In other cases, you can actually use the furniture you've got, but you just do little tweaks here and there.
Yep.
But it makes a world of difference.
Sure.
I've had it in situations before where we've had the original furniture in there and we didn't have much luck. We had to sit down after about a month and said, right, let's do it my way now.
Mm-hmm.
Within 1 week, we had two offers on it. Well, three offers, actually. Sorry, the third offer was the one that bought it. But yeah,
right.
So it really makes a big deal. And they spent a couple of grand on styling and ended up getting about 20 or 30 grand at the end of it. So
yep.
more.
Good return.
Yeah.
Yep. So presentation. Tell us a bit more about the timing and the marketing, the process, I guess, to get top dollar from the agent's perspective. What kind of seller expect to go through?
Yep. So every agent and agency is going to be a little bit different. We're quite quick in the fact that we can have photos on the Monday and online by Wednesday, which is quite a quick turnaround, I have to say. Most agencies aren't like that because there actually are quite a few guidelines to go through. I say give yourself a week to 2 weeks so you're not stressed.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, it'll be from the moment you say, yep. If the property was completely done and it was ready for photos, you'd get them in on the Monday for the photos, you'd do your script, you'd go over it, you'd get your marketing material together, your brochures, your signboard, you know, on all your portals and websites. Best case scenario, you have it on that week. But generally I say give yourself a week so you're not too stressed, it's not too much all at once, so that the week after you can really start strong.
Yeah, so. Excellent. And what about what time of the year to sell? Obviously we see spring as being a very popular time to sell homes. And
yeah.
Often get good prices and a bit of growth during that period. But what's your take on when to sell?
Look, I don't think there's any hard and fast rule. A lot of people love to sell in spring because the weather's nice, the garden looks great.
Mm.
And it does. And there's more buyers in the market, that's for sure. But I actually think selling anytime has its benefits. Mm-hmm. If you sell in winter, you've got way less stock, which means that it's way less competition. You've still got a lot of buyers out there, and they're really more qualified buyers. They're not people just going on their Sunday afternoon walk.
Mm.
They're people actually looking for homes. I've got some really great results in winter. In the spring, going into summer, it's quite good as well, like you said, because you can kind of have, it's one of those weird moments in time where you kind of have two shots at it. So you have a shot at it just before Christmas, and if you can't get the job done, you could almost pause it, take it off the market, and then relaunch it again
mm-hmm.
at the beginning of the year. It's the only time really that you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always ideal, obviously, to pause and all that stuff, but sometimes you might need to tweak a few things. There might be a building inspection get done and that there's something that needs to be fixed. So you take it off, fix that, so that the next person that comes through would be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really dependent on you as a vendor. I don't think there's any hard and fast rule. But as long as you're prepared and you know you present it well and the marketing's done well, you're putting yourself in the best possible position to get the most.
Yep, excellent. So as a seller, what can you tell us about buyers that most buyers don't want you to know?
What most buyers don't want you to know, I guess, most buyers don't want you to know how much money they've got
mm-hmm.
Because they're in a negotiation. Look, a buyer will generally be approved up to a certain amount. And they never want to get to that level because they always want to do something else to the house, or they want to save as much money as they can. What we tend to do, that's one of the things, is if you put an offer forward, there's a little box on the offer form that we have that lets like our finance guys, just give you a call and just vet you. Just make sure that you do have the money.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, it's in my best interest to get the right buyer for the property,
mm-hmm.
not just any old buyer.
Sure.
Because it's easy for someone to say, yeah, I'll give you an extra $100,000. But we've had it plenty of times where there's no way they can afford it. They didn't have the savings. They don't have the money coming through. And while, you know, you never disclose price because you can't, you can always get a good feel of where they're at. So buyers don't want you to know how much money they have. Sellers obviously want the most amount of money. So it's a bit of a juggling game. And buyers will sometimes try to get a bit cheeky and they'll put timelines on it. They'll put timelines on an offer.
On an offer.
And it's actually quite clever. Like, I have to admit, like, it is good because it puts a line in the sand. And we're always talking about line in the sand and, you know, that's when decisions have to be made. And it can really push something forward quite quickly. So a good offer with a line in the sand saying, you know, this offer is only valid until Friday, well, it makes the seller have to make a decision pretty quick.
Mm.
Otherwise, they're afraid they're going to lose it. You don't... Most of the time I say you won't lose it, but you never want to risk it either.
Sure.
Yeah.
Excellent. Great advice. Joe, do you have any other advice specific for investors who are looking to sell their properties?
Look, I think presentation is key. If you don't present it well, it'll sit on the market for a long period of time. Most investors have investment-based properties, so you're really targeting another investor. If an investor can walk into a home and think, well, I don't have to do anything, I don't have to spend any money, that's always pretty beneficial. So, you know, getting those small things fixed up that need to be fixed up are always good. Even having a good relationship with the tenants, because sometimes the buyer will want to talk to the tenants, and if they've got good tenants and the tenants are saying good things about the current landlord, you can, it actually works in your favor. A good tenant is worth its weight in gold, and knowing that, you know, if you do have good tenants and you're handing over that lease, can really be good, and maintenance issues for that. But presentation, if you're going to style it, do it well. Don't skimp out on the styling. It's easy to do that, and just spend that little bit extra money, get it right, if you can get the tenants to move out, if it is tenanted, or if you can get the tenants to not be there during the open, ideally. That's always good as well. I have had ones where the tenant's sitting there on the couch during the open inspection. It can be a little bit awkward as people are walking through. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, certainly as an investor, it's obvious when you walk into a home and it's currently being used as an investment property.
Mm.
And it's a lot more attractive to me to walk into a home and not know, assuming that it could be either an investment property or one lived in by its current owners.
Yeah.
So as down the track when I go to sell, it appeals to both demographics and a broader market and hopefully gets a better price.
Definitely.
Excellent. Fantastic. Thank you again for joining us today, Joe. I'm afraid that's all we've got time for. But before you go, tell us again, how can people get in touch with you?
You can go onto our website, which is toop.com.au. Otherwise, I've got a Facebook, once again, which is Joe Marriott, Toop and Toop Real Estate. Or my Instagram, which is Not Your Average Joe 1.
Not Your Average Joe 1. Thanks, Joe. We certainly look forward to having you back. And thank you for joining us too. We hope you found Joe's industry insights to be useful. If you have any questions for Joe, I'm sure he'd be only too happy to help if you contact him directly. Similarly, if you have any questions, queries or feedback for us, please send them in, comment below or email hello@rosieandrosie.com.au. We'd love to hear from you too. It's been a pleasure having you with us, but it's time for us to go. Until next time, I'm Matthew from Rosie and Rosie, helping you invest in property with confidence.